Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, a moratorium on executions. Also, Tommy Tuberville is the only U.S. senator now backing Trump. And people want to know, where does District 10 Representative David Cole live?
What'd you say?
What?
What'd you just say?
What'd I say? What?
I guess a lawsuit will decide that. Rock on, dude. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and today I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Before we get started today, I want to take, as they say in the legislature, a point of personal privilege. I'm sure our viewers at this point are aware of the mass shooting at the Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia last week. What you're probably not aware of is that our Charlie Walker's sister was among those victims. She is a mother of three, Sarah, and she was shot multiple times. She is in critical condition at this point. We are wishing Charlie and all the family well and hope that Sarah does recover from this horrible event. Josh, too many guns, too many killings.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I have a very recent terrible history with guns in my family.
Yes,
it has not been anything related to a mass shooting. But I would say that it's only a matter of time before everybody in the country is in some way impacted personally by mass shooting, because they happen so frequently in this country. And, you know, we can continue to say that there's just nothing we can do about this, that there's just, you know, what can we do? What could be done? But, you know, these things don't happen anywhere else with this level of frequency and in this horrific of nature. And it seems like other people have managed to figure things out. And I got to think it's the guns. You know, at the end of the day, it's the guns and the gun culture that we have here that's causing a lot of this.
Yeah.
I mean, when it's so frequent that I think the statistic you looked at was in 2022, there's an average of 4 mass shootings per week in this country.
Yeah.
This is unacceptable. We've got to do something. I'm a gun owner. I understand that. But when it comes to guns that have the kind of power to go in and injure and kill this many people at one time, this has got to stop.
Well, I know I talked to Charlie right after she became aware of the events. And she was like, you know, we've become so immune to these mass shootings. She said, there's no immunity when it's one of your family members. And we're all so close here at the V and APR. That's like having a member of our family suffering from this. And again, I think, you know, Canada, Europe, Australia, these countries have populations similar to America, yet they do not have the violence and they do not have the crime of mass murders that we do.
We're always looking to other states for solutions to Alabama problems. Why don't we look to other countries for United States solutions?
Well, we just, for some reason, the Supreme Court has decided that the founding fathers in 1787 thought that they could foresee AK-47s and AR-15s and that everybody should have one. But we will leave that all for another day. Josh, you have caused quite a ruckus up in Madison County. Surprise, surprise.
What?
You are a muckraker of the first degree.
I don't know what you're talking about.
David Cole, the Republican winner of District 10 in Madison County, through your reporting, I think you pretty well proved that David Cole doesn't live in District 10, and now a lawsuit has been filed to challenge that. So David Cole will be facing cheating charges, I think, if nothing else.
Yeah. There's been a challenge filed by the Libertarian candidate in that race. I made a little mistake in the story that I wrote originally about that, but it's the Libertarian candidate Elijah Boyd who filed the challenge to David Cole being elected, because in all appearances David Cole lives in District 4, not in District 10. And the story was, we talked about this several weeks ago, his house was originally in District 10, and then after redistricting, it was drawn into District 4, which is Parker Moore's district. And so he wanted to run and replace Mike Ball. And so to do so, he used the address of a friend, it seems, of the family, and claimed, after we raised some questions, that his entire family of five moved into this four-bedroom house with another family. And that's where he was actually living, and not in the empty four-bedroom house that they currently and still own. It's in District 4. So, yeah, I think, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I don't think that there's any question that he lives in District 4, not in District 10.
I mean, Susan, if you're willing to cheat to get into the legislature, mm-hmm. what are you willing to do once you're there?
Well, that raises a lot of questions, doesn't it? Because if you're willing to cheat going in, you probably got some ideas about how you're going to cheat once you're there.
Well, anyway, we will let the courts decide this, but it looks like from our reporting that David Cole doesn't live in District 10. I want to get to another bit of unsettling news. Perry Hooper, former state rep and son of the now deceased Supreme Court Justice. He was the co-chair of Trump's campaign here in Alabama. He has been indicted, Josh. On one count of sexual assault or sexual abuse.
Yeah, this stemmed from the incident in August outside of the restaurant in Montgomery in downtown, where they were apparently attending an event. After that event was over, or near the end of the event, at least, Perry Hooper allegedly started making his way out of the restaurant. And according to an affidavit filed by the young lady who was allegedly assaulted, we'll put allegedly in there until court proves otherwise, Perry Hooper came up behind her, grabbed her breast, grabbed her by the waist, began thrusting his pelvis into her, and then started kissing her on her neck before she could break free and get the hell away from him, I imagine, and go take a really hot shower. That's assault, man. That's assault everywhere you go. That's sexual assault, and he's been arrested for it, and now he's been indicted for it.
Mississippi Leghound comes to mind, but that's awful. That's terrible.
Just let him finish.
Assault is assault is assault. Okay. Let him face a jury for it.
We got 10 seconds here. Tommy Tuberville is the only sitting U.S. senator that has come out to endorse Donald Trump.
I'm shocked.
I'm Trump. And Tuberville are like that. All right, you're watching The Bee, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
There seems to be a new wave of aggressive driving lately.
You see those people, they are the ones that are tailgating other people because they have to get through their destination now.
Weaving in and out of traffic, looks like they could care less about who's around them. There's no one else on the roadway. They're the only one there.
Aggressive driving can be the difference between life and death.
All because somebody thought they needed to be the front of the line and get there first.
Slow down. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. This past week, Governor Kay Ivey announced a moratorium on executions in Alabama and has ordered a top-to-bottom review of the process. This all came after two botched executions and a execution in which there were some horrific details about how the man was actually put to death. Susan, I think it's time to put a moratorium on executions until we can figure out how to do them correctly.
Yep. Excuse me. Excuse me. We're talking about, you know, people being prodded for 4 hours at a time. You know, the looking for veins, the digging for veins. I mean, this is horrific. This is stuff horror movies are made out of. So until Alabama can actually figure out what they're doing, I agree with Kay Ivey that there needs to be a moratorium on this.
Josh, it just seems to me that if you're going to put someone to death,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we can argue whether lethal injection is humane or cruel and unusual punishment, but if you're going to put them to death, we have to employ professionals to do it. I mean, that I don't buy all this. You can't find a vein, you know. But again, there's no transparency. We have no idea what takes place behind the scenes when they're putting someone to death in our name
and with our money.
Yeah, we don't. We are surprisingly ignorant about the whole process. You know, from a public standpoint. I mean, not necessarily the people at ADOC, although I would suggest that there may be some ignorance at play there as well. But, you know, I agree with Kay Ivey that there needs to be a moratorium. I don't necessarily understand her rationale behind claiming that there's some grand conspiracy that's taking place here, which I don't know what the conspiracy would be, other than, you know, they've so malnourished prisoners that they can't find veins in them or something, or that the prison staff is so lacking of basic medical knowledge that they can't insert an IV properly. And so, but we continue to do this. And so obviously there is an issue with the Department of Corrections. There is an issue with how we're carrying these things out. So I don't know what the conspiracy is that she was referring to, but regardless of all that, you're right. If we can't do this in a way that is humane, you know, as humane as you can possibly be when we're talking about ending another human's life, you've got to stop this, because we have to be better than the people that we are standing in judgment of. And right now, we are not.
No, and we're not. And the problem here is just that, you know, something is wrong, but we don't know exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And they're not telling us, and we can't get to the information. I do find this an interesting point. Governor Ivey has instructed Attorney General Steve Marshall to not seek any more death warrants right now, to hold that. His response is that he read her request with or statements with interest, and that he would respond at a later date. Steve, don't mess with Kay Ivey. You ain't that strong, Bubba. You know what I mean?
I don't think you can take her on. You can't. You won't totally survive it.
You know, that boy's a wimp. And he just has no idea how strong Kay Ivey
can be. Well, you know, he's used to standing up to Joe Biden from afar. And, I just think that it's nonsense all the way around, you know, this whole thing. I don't understand why this process from beginning to end can't be more transparent and we all can't understand better what's going on here. And I think it would serve the general public very well in their decisions about whether or not they want to continue with the death penalty to actually see it take place. I mean, not necessarily the death itself, but to understand the process and what the men and women go through leading up to that point.
I think that's right.
I think that's a good point.
And I want to get to their next topic, because this plays to right what you just said. Since from the 1970s to 2017, Alabama allowed something called judicial override, mm-hmm. which meant that a jury could convict someone of capital murder, but the jury could recommend life without parole. They could recommend that. However, in Alabama, until 2017, judge could come back in and say, no, we're going to execute them. Now, that practice was outlawed in 2017, correct, Susan. However, we have some 30 individuals that are on death row right now that are under that old law. Mm. Now, it seems to me that if the law is wrong, was wrong now, it was wrong then. So those cases should be reviewed.
They should be. The bill was passed in 2017 to stop judicial override. However, it was not made retroactive to cases before that. In fact, the last botched execution involved that very that very thing. In that,
Kenneth Smith.
I couldn't remember his name. In that, a jury of 11 wanted to give him life in prison, but the judge overrode that. Now, because the judicial override bill did not go retroactive back to his case, they were going to execute him anyhow.
Yeah.
So I think there needs to be a review of this law, because my understanding of the way that amendment got put on there, it was put on there as a strong move in the legislature when there was only 2 days left in the session.
Right. Yeah. It was meant to either derail it or change it in a way that was never intended, Josh.
That's exactly what happened. It was at the last minute they put that amendment in and said it was to protect judges. But the problem here, and I think it's important to note, the reason why it was changed is that we had a lot of issues of judges essentially doing this to prove at election time and in election years, and there were statistics to back this up, that judges were imposing the death penalty more so in election years than at any other time. They were overriding juries in those years more so than in off times. And so that's a huge issue, I would say, that you're basically killing people to get votes. And it's also important to note that juries weren't just making these decisions, you know, by the seat of their pants. There's a set of guidelines that they were following with mitigating factors and aggravating factors in which they were judging each convict on whether or not they were going to impose the death penalty.
Well, and the legislature needs to take this issue up. Because we're not talking about giving mercy to these murderers. What we're talking about is giving fair justice. And that's what it's really about. All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times.
I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
One of the biggest factors in a fatal car crash. Your car stops, but your body does not stop at the same time. Your body keeps going, you know, and that could be running into your seatbelt, that could be hitting the airbag, something has to stop it, and unfortunately it's something very hard.
There have been times that we've come upon accidents where if people weren't speeding, they'd probably still be alive today.
It's truly dangerous, and it puts everybody at risk.
There's just no point to it.
This kind of stuff has got to stop.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. The state appeared before the 11th Judicial Circuit this past week to ask that the circuit unblock the ruling that said that that halted the criminalization of giving hormone treatments or medical treatment to transgender youth. Alabama passed a law saying criminalizing giving help, attention to transgender youth. Lyles Burke, an Alabamian judge, said that no, you can't go forward with that. Right now, we're going to have to have the courts rule on this. But Alabama was not satisfied. They went back, tried to overturn Lyles Burke's ruling on that. This was heard before the 11th Circuit. Bill Pryor was there, also some other Alabamians. And it didn't look like it was going to go the way Alabama wanted it to.
Yeah, well, and rightfully so. And, you know, as you were talking about that, and I was thinking about these the cases that we take to the 11th Circuit. And, you know, do you think anybody ever stops and thinks, we never go for anything good, you know? We never go to, you know, to like protect poor people or to, you know, to make sure that racial discrimination is stomped down. We're always there for something like this, some hot button issue, some hot topic where we don't really give a damn about the kids that we're going to end up killing because of this. We really only care about the votes that this whole charade is going to generate for Steve Marshall or for whoever. That's the only reason we're there. We're only there for this because we got sucked into a hot topic issue, a culture war issue that just really harms kids that are already struggling. And I mean, that's the worst thing about this. And I hope it doesn't go their way. I mean, I have no faith at this point in the 11th Circuit or any of the judges that Trump has appointed to do the right thing or to follow law or precedent or anything else. And so, but I hope it doesn't go our way. And I hope that people will leave these kids alone, especially since it was such a failing issue during this past election for Republicans. Well, they wasted billions of dollars on it.
Yeah. Chief Justice, the 11th Circuit Chief Justice Bill Pryor is a very conservative judge, and he did some of the most extraordinary questioning of that, as he also did in the recent Trump hearing. But Susan, this is never about children. It's about politics.
It's about politics. This is another, as Josh brought up with the judicial override, this is another election year bill to gin up the base, to get people excited about something that really doesn't exist that much in the state, just for votes. Yet again, they're going to penalize children for votes.
And Josh, yeah. To your point, I talked to several political consultants who said, oh yeah, the first thing we told Republicans to do is go after transgender kids. And as you point out, they were wrong. It did not gin up the base. What ginned up the independents was that you had these type of crazy things going on.
Yep.
That they're sick of the craziness. The yes. Independents mm-hmm. and moderate Republicans are sick of the craziness.
Yeah, they just want people yes. to go and govern. You know, how about that? Just go down there, just go to wherever, Montgomery, D.C., wherever your capital is in your state, and actually govern. You know, do things that help people on a daily basis and stop picking on these people that, God, they're already struggling. You know, and I know what Susan said, and she's absolutely right about this. They're not being, you know, very many of these cases in Alabama. And that's true. There's not very many of these cases anywhere. But it's also so mischaracterized by what's taking place in this overall argument, as though parents are just running, you know, willy-nilly into doctor's offices and having sex changes for their children. And this is an entire process that these families are struggling with and these kids are struggling with. And you're getting, again, we have another case of conservatives, wanting to get involved between the doctor and the patient in places. And we gotta stop this.
There's at least a century of the Supreme Court saying that the state has no business in this area. Yeah. But you know, if you go back, this type of parental rights type issues is never ending. I mean, in 2025, we had the Scopes monkey trial, mm-hmm. right? Where they litigated the fact that you could not teach evolution in school in Tennessee, right. because oh my God, you're going to lead children down the road to damnation, you know?
Yeah, it all flows back into some religious aspect of things. And, you know, I don't care what you believe, but at the end of the day, there are a set of facts. There's facts that you should be teaching children about things. And that's just how life works. I don't know what else to tell you. And your religion should not play any role in this. And the religion should not play any role in our government and how we're deciding things. And it certainly should not play, your religion should not get to dictate what another woman and her doctor decides. You know, that shouldn't be a thing.
Well, I just think that, you know, our legislature outlawed Sharia law in Alabama, which is not a thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that was a good one.
But
I remember that
but
one.
Would they outlaw, say, bringing in the Ten Commandments as law? I don't know. But, you know, again, I don't mind, like you said, people having their own personal beliefs.
Yes.
But what they're trying to do is foster their beliefs on other parents and children
and
in
using
school.
And government to do that.
You know, and because once again, you know, you're appealing to the base of the Republican Party, which is evangelical Christians. And I have nothing wrong with it. I have nothing against evangelical Christians. What I do have is that I don't think anyone has a right to impose their religious beliefs on anybody else.
No, I agree.
No, but they don't. Yeah, and listen, I'll say the evangelicals haven't exactly conducted themselves very great over the course of the last few years. And, you know, we could point to Georgia where they're literally voting for, I don't even know how to describe Herschel Walker at this point, over a reverend. So, you know, yeah. I mean, this is where we are in this country at this point. Politics takes precedent over what you claim to be religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, that is the shape of things as they are. Recently, a great public servant, Hugh Evans III, passed away. He was a great guy. He will be missed.